Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab. Adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
This is All of It on WNYC. I'm Allison Stewart. And listeners, our next interview today will cover topics related to murder and may touch on suicide. We wanted to let you know that in case you need to get some earbuds or in case this might be triggering, you can be prepared. And if this isn't the right time to listen to this important conversation, you can listen on demand later. And of course, if you need help as a victim of crime, you can call the Victim Connect Help Center at 1-855-484-2846. And of course, if you ever need to talk to someone, the National Suicide Prevention Hotline is 1-800-273-8255. Thousands of people have seen The Musical Waitress. And when filmmaker Andy Ostroy interviewed folks standing in line to see the show and asked if they know who wrote the story, they didn't. His new film answers the question. The person who wrote and directed the inspiration for the show was the critically acclaimed film Waitress, was Adrian Shelley, his wife. Adrian was murdered at just 40 years old, not too far from our studios, right here in Greenwich Village. You may remember the story. It was all over the news in November 2006. But by the way it was reported, first as a suicide and then as a homicide, it didn't really convey who she was. She was a mom, a wife, a daughter, a sister, and a damn good feminist writer and director who moved on past her sexy actress persona to create some wonderful and weird films. In the new documentary, Adrian, Ostroy embarks on a personal and intimate journey to grapple with Shelley's murder while also showing us her vibrant life and career. Let's listen to a clip from the film of Adrian interviewing. It's in an interview with her friend when she was 30 years old, speaking to her potential future children.
Creative desire. Create life and celebrate life and contribute to the world. And it's part of, you know, being a woman. It's part of being a human being, I think.
You know, after we do this interview, I'm just going to give you this tape, you know, and you can have it. And maybe like one day, perhaps there's an off chance that your children might see it.
Delicious, baby.
What would you, if anything, want them to know or understand about you at this point in your life?
That, you know, I don't have them yet, but I'm thinking of them, you know? I really want them to have a good life. Yeah, their mother starred in some movies and was on magazine covers and was admired by a few people, but none of that she considers as important as they will be.
Adrian premieres December 1st on HBO. Joining me now is Andy Ostroy. Hi, Andy.
Hi, Allison.
So when you set out to make this film, what was the original goal and how did it shift at all during the making of it?
The goal of the film was to cover three critical areas, life, death, aftermath. And it was to answer three critical questions. Who was Adrian Shelley? What really happened November 1st, 2006? And how does a family navigate unfathomable tragedy? That was the vision. And I'm really happy to say that the film that people will see on HBO starting December 1st is 100% what I envisioned.
You had two jobs in the film. You were the director, the person making it. You're also one of the subjects, the person helping to tell this story. Did you have any sort of personal rules or guidelines for yourself in the process, discussions with yourself about how far to go, how intimate to get?
No, I think for me, what was most important, and I think this applies to any documentary, is just I would just need to be authentic and genuine with not just my own feelings, but everything that was put up on the screen.
What did you learn about Adrian as a creative person by working on this film by taking a look back at the trajectory of her career?
Well, the biographical part of the film wasn't as enlightening for me as the other parts. I mean, I knew enough about Adrienne's career, having been with her for 5 years, and knew about the, you know, the good, the bad, the ugly, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And Waitress, of course, being, you know, the seminal moment in her career as a writer director. But sitting through all the interviews, of which many my daughter Sophie was present at, I think both of us really learned a lot about her as a person. You know, I had a lot of blanks that needed to be filled in. I knew her when she finally was maturing as a person, you know, her late 30s, when she was coming into her own, so to speak. And, but she had a whole life before me. She had a childhood, she had teen years, she experienced death through her father. She, you know, she went to college. She had her early indie ingenue period, all of which I wasn't around for. So I really needed and relied on people to help fill in those blanks.
You know, we touched on that she was an actress. A lot of people know her work. What was it that made her shift to becoming a filmmaker? Although after watching the film, I think she kind of always was a filmmaker in her head, even if she was, the job at the moment was being an actor.
She really was. And that's a good observation, because Adrienne early on knew that she needed to control her destiny with whatever she did in her life. But when she went into the arts, it became apparent very quickly that she needed to not just, you know, act, but she needed to write and direct. She needed, you know, that kind of creative control. And as you know from her career, and is hopefully becomes very clear in the film, she had a very strong, unique voice. And she was, you know, she was Me Too before the hashtag. She was making films. She was writing about this kind of stuff of, you know, women's quiet bravery that wasn't celebrated. She experienced, you know, harassment and, you know, sexual harassment and just general awkwardness in many cases, you know, when she worked on, you know, films and TV shows. And so I think that, you know, just being able to execute on her vision was what made her very special.
My guest is director Andy Ostroy. We're talking about his film Adrienne, which premieres December 1st on HBO. So how did you want to approach the story of her murder within the context of the film? Because it easily could have taken over the film.
Well, it could have if someone else directed it.
Yeah.
So that's why I decided I needed to do it myself. And I had a strong vision for what this film needed to be. And so I didn't get weighted down emotionally with the fact that I'd never directed a film before or hadn't gone to film school. You know, I'm 62 years old. And, you know, at the time I conceptualized this film, I was approaching 60, you know, and I had directed a lot of things in my life. You know, I ran a business at that time, you know, before that for 20 years. I directed people, I directed situations, I ran a foundation, which I still do. So I had the confidence in the skills that I had that I felt that if I paired with that very strong vision and a good team behind me, like any director, you can execute on that vision. And so though the film has three parts or three main components to it, life, death, aftermath, it wasn't that I set out in my head with, you know, 33 and a third, 33 and a third, 33 and a third. And as you see in the film, you know, the part about her death largely focuses on the murder, not the initial narrative of suicide. But it's also a really smallish part of the film in terms of the overall time spent. The film really is a film about Adrienne. It's a film about her life, about her career, who she was as a person. And so that part of the film is coupled with the aftermath of, you know, what a family experiences and how a family deals with this kind of tragedy and ongoing grief is really what I wanted the main takeaways to be.
I want to play a clip from the film. It's I think it's important because it speaks to how well you knew your wife. The police initially treated Adrian's death as a suicide. It was staged to look like a suicide. You, from the beginning, knew that just wasn't the case. Let's listen to a little bit, a clip from the film Adrian.
Friday, I saw the New York Post and the story they had written. So I called up Sixth Precinct and I asked to speak to the detective. And they told me he had gone for the weekend. He said, that's fine, just give me someone else who's working the case. There's nobody else working the case. And he said, sorry, pal, I know this is not what you want to hear, but as far as we're concerned, it's a suicide. It's almost like the grief and everything that I had been feeling just sort of like, just moved away. And this other thing took over, this like combat mode of like, she's not here to fight for herself, I've got to fight for her.
My wife did not kill herself.
That's from the film Adrian. Were you ever questioned as a suspect? Because they always say when in cases of when a woman dies, someone close to her is often the perpetrator.
I was interviewed. Other family members were interviewed. Mm-hmm. What they took away from that interview or didn't, I never felt that I was looked at in a certain way. I understood the obvious and I went with it. Mm-hmm. And I wanted them to move on from that part of their process as quickly as possible, because there was somebody out there that I knew who had killed her. And the less time they spend with family members, mm-hmm. the more time they'll have on the investigation.
As we learn in the film, you make the decision that you want to meet the person who took her life. Was that something that you had always wanted to do, or was this something that you came to later?
No, it was always something I needed to do, because he lied at his confession and he lied at sentencing, and I knew there was a story that hadn't been told yet. And so when I, you know, first conceptualized making the film and the vision for it being life, death, aftermath, the death part was to find out what really happened that day. And there was only one person alive who knew what happened that day, and that was him. And so it became part of the whole cinematic process.
We're talking about the film Adrian, which premieres December 1st on HBO. I'm speaking with Andy Ostroy. So as we mentioned, Waitress was about to be this really big deal, this film that she made. And we see you interview stars of the film, from Kerry Russell to Jeremy Sisto, about their experience making it with Adrian. Let's hear a little bit of what they had to say. Clip 4.
I was sort of like, why doesn't she want to do this? And she's like, I want to direct it, you know.
The only time we ever really worked together was trying to get Waitress made and doing the reading. It was apparent even during the reading. She conjured everything. And because she was an actor, she knew how to talk to actors.
You said you drop it here, you come in, you rush in.
I think the biggest thing about Adrian was she really knew what she wanted. She had such a clear idea of it.
In this shot, we just sit down. Yeah. Okay. Hey,
rehearsing. Andy, what did that film mean to her? It went on to become a big hit at Sundance.
Well, that's something that I think we in the family and others find really hard to ever accept, because she to her, it was just a script. She didn't even know that the film was accepted into Sundance. So at the time of her death, it was just another small indie film that she wrote, and had no idea whether it would ever go anywhere outside of her laptop.
The name of the film is Adrian. It premieres December 1st on HBO. I've been speaking with its director, Andy Ostroy. Andy, thank you for making time today.
Thank you for having me.
We wanted to acknowledge the loss of another creative mind whose life ended far too early. The fashion world lost an influential figure, the visionary designer Virgil Abloh. As the artistic director for Louis Vuitton's men's collection, he was the first Black designer for a major fashion house. Ablo died of a rare form of cancer Sunday at the age of 41. Many obituaries referred to him as the most powerful black man in fashion. Ablo once said, "Life is so short, you can't waste even a day subscribing to what someone thinks you can do versus knowing what you can do." He is survived by his wife, Shannon Ablo, his children, Lo and Gray, his sister, Edwina, and his parents, Nee and Eunice. In a heartfelt Instagram post, his wife wrote, "He often said, everything I do is for the 17-year-old version of myself, believing deeply in the power of art to inspire future generations." Virgil Ablo was 41 years old. And that is all of it for this hour. I'm Allison Stewart. I will meet you back here right after the news.